Job is very lowly. It's very humble. It's very unpretentious. What was Jesus saying? Forget all the great show. And go find you a somebody whom you can just humbly share Christ with. See, that's what it's all about. That's what he's saying. Lowliness and humility and meekness and gentleness and love and bond slave service. That's the way the gospel goes forward. So that the person doesn't belong to himself. He belongs to somebody else. And he's willing to be trampled on if Jesus might be advanced in that person's life. The gospel produces lowliness of heart. It destroys egotism and self-centeredness and renders a person humble and lowly in mind and meek and gentle toward others and always ready to be a slave, always ready to serve. Let me close with a simple illustration. I'm hesitant to use this because the telling of it will destroy what happened there. Like the church who gave its pastor a medal for humility and then took it away when he wore it. But I was at the airport Wednesday evening, and I'm telling this about myself, and I'm not hesitant to do that because God knows whether I'm proud or humble, and he'll have to deal with the pride and bless the humility if it's there. And if not, he has to take care of either one of them. And I really don't care how it looks. I hope. But I was at the airport on Wednesday night. I'd come in on an earlier flight, had a funeral on Thursday, and had to come back. And by the way, I appreciate so much those of you who gather around situations like that. See, that's the way the church grows. People absorb needy people. The rest of you didn't even, you say, well, I didn't know those people. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. See, concerned about this, but not that individual. And a few were faithful, just surrounding them and sowing the seeds of graciousness and kindness. Well, Aubrey Anion, who is the chairman of the deacons of this church, was to meet me at the airport on that later flight, and I got in early. I stopped by the southern desk to find out what gate the later flight was to come in on so I would know where I would find him. And I had to wait in line. There were two young women in front of me, and I was just standing there, and it got rather prolonged, and I wondered what was taking so long. They were talking back and forth, and I began to listen. And they were Orientals. I thought they were probably Vietnamese. I found out they were Filipino. They were Orientals. And so I heard them talking to this black dialect, black Southern American. And these Filipino girls could barely speak understandable English, and he could barely speak understandable English. And as they tried to talk, they weren't understanding each other. And so I just moved around the side to listen to them, leaned on the counter. And in a minute I said, is there anything I could help with? I heard what they were saying. He wasn't understanding them. He would say, I don't understand what you're saying. And they were trying to tell him, and they couldn't make it understandable. And I could understand what they were saying. So I said, I interpreted to him what they were saying in very rough, poor English. And what had happened was they got in on a flight. They were to have had reservations on a flight the next morning, but they didn't even know they were going to have to spend the night in Memphis. They were going to Greenwood, Mississippi, and there was only a southern flight into there. And that flight in the morning had been canceled, and another one was scheduled for 5 o'clock the next afternoon, and here they were just standing, and they didn't know what to make of it. And they were trying to find out what they would do to get there earlier, and there was no way. So I explained to him what they were saying, and he said, well, there's no flight till 5:05 tomorrow afternoon. So I said, well, girls, you're here. You're here. You have no way to go, no place to go, no way out. I said, you'll have to wait on that flight. And boy, they were just completely downcast, and they tried to communicate with me, and I introduced myself to them. I said, "What do you attend a church in the Philippines?" They said, Seventh-day Adventist, something like that. And I said, so you know about Jesus? And they said, yes. And I said, well, I do too. I'm a Christian. I know about Jesus. And I said, that gives us a common denominator. I would like to help you if I can. And then I stepped over the desk, and I found out where that gate was, and I said, would you just stay here? I'll leave my luggage with you. I'm going to get a man who's to pick me up here at the airport, and we'll be back in just a minute. We'll see what we can do. And so we went away. I went away, and I found Aubrey down there. I explained it. I said, there are two Filipino girls down here waiting on me. He said, two Filipino girls down there waiting on you? And he told me later, he said, I was a little bit afraid of that. And I said, yes, they need help, and we can decide, we can talk with them, decide what to do. So I explained the situation to him. We got back down there and began to communicate in the course of time, and you should have seen what happened to them. This just completely disarmed them, just melted them. He took them around the corner to a phone booth, placed a long distance call to one of the women's brother in Greenwood, and he said he would drive up that night, be there shortly after midnight to pick them up and take them home that night. And just immediately the weight was lifted. This girl almost jumped up and down. She went back and told her niece, and there was just rejoicing right there. And then she said, just radiantly, she just put her hands together like this and almost danced around us. She said, "I want to thank you for your help. Your help." And so I wrote our name and church name and address down there, phone number, and I put just a note about God there. And then we dismissed ourselves and started to go our way. I got out to the parking lot and I said I didn't have a tract or anything to give them. Then it occurred to me in my luggage, which we had with us, I had some tracts. So I opened it up there on the parking lot. I said, "Aubrey, I'll be back in a minute." And I took two tracts and went back up the escalator, walked up to them, and they just were all smiles. I said, "You read English well?" "Yes." And so I said, "I want to give you these little books about Jesus." And again, they were just so radiant. They said, "Thank you for your help." And I started back down the escalator. My heart was just lifted. Yours was too. I tell you, I've never been so proud of a brother either, the way he ministered to them. And I got down at the foot of the escalator, and one of them came running down the stairs saying, "Sir, sir." And I stopped, and she held out a box to me. It was a gift-wrapped box. She said, "We want you to have this for your help." I said, "No, you brought that for somebody else. I can't take that." She said, "No, we want you to have it for your help. We have many of them." She said, "This is our specialty in the Philippines." So I didn't know what it was. She explained what it was, but I didn't know what she meant. So I took it. Went on back to Aubrey, and I said, "You're not going to believe this, but she gave us a gift." And we opened it on the seat of the car, and it was sugar candy. It was, well, good-tasting sugar candy. Now, friends, that's the way the kingdom advances, right there, where somebody is disarmed in the sweet name of Jesus, and Christ is invested in that person's heart. Now, let me ask you, which one are you, a tree grower or a seed sower? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with me and bow your heads and close your eyes and be in a spirit of prayer. And let the Lord Jesus minister to your heart in these closing moments. Let me go back to my first question. Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Does he live in your heart and in your life? If not, you can receive him today. You can be born from above before you leave this place. If you're willing to repent of your sins and renounce your right to yourself, and surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord, that means your boss, who comes to live in you as your Savior and assume authority and control over you as your Lord, you can be saved, born again, before you leave this place today. And you need to come to make that public as Jesus commanded you to do. That's the reason we give an invitation at the end of our church services. The Holy Spirit calls you. Maybe there are other decisions need to be made. Matters of church membership, to come on promise of letter or by statement, or for baptism if you've already received Christ and have been saved. And he offers his church to you, his body, for you to be a part of it, and commands you to enter it. We want to urge you to come. Whatever decision you need to make and God leads you to make, the choir is going to sing our hymn of invitation. You step out quickly and do what God puts in your heart to do just now, and come as the Spirit of God leads you.